Good morning to you all. Yeah, we are glad to be in the presence of the Lord. And thank the Lord for bringing my friend Pastor Carson to this church. You are most welcome to come all the way from Jinja to worship with us. It's too much for us. Thank you. Thank you so much. Chapter 2 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, entitled "Of God and of the Holy Trinity," begins with a powerful statement about God. It says, and here I quote, "There is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will, and that for his own glory, most loving, most gracious, most merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and withal most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty." End of quote. After learning the amazing truth about the justice of God last Sunday, today we want to look at yet another of his attributes. As we continue with our series entitled "Knowing the Living God," everything about God is in one way or the other a challenge to human understanding. However, there are some truths about God that are not difficult but impossible to understand with our feeble and limited mind. We do understand them by grace, through the eyes of faith. And today we are going to look at another very difficult truth about God, namely the oneness of God. How on earth can you have one God in three persons? People always ask us. Open your Bibles with me in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm reading only verse 4. Yeah, the context has been read to us by our brother. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." I repeat it. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Let's seek the Lord's help in prayer. Our great King who reigns forever, you've been there from eternity past and you'll be there for eternity future. The only faithful God because you've been faithful to your people throughout all the generations. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We stand here in awe of you, in your presence, ready to hear from you, to be fed by you through your word, O Lord. Use me to proclaim this truth to us this morning for our edification and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, the book of Deuteronomy has got three sermons given by Moses to the children of Israel. In the first sermon, found in Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 6 up to chapter 4 verse 43, here Moses recounts the events of the 40 years of the wilderness wanderings. And you'll see that towards the end of that first sermon, chapter 4 verses 15 through 31, idolatry is forbidden. And then you go to verse 32 up to verse 40. Moses tells the children of Israel that the Lord alone is God. In his second sermon, that we find from chapter 5, verse 1 up to chapter 11, verse 32. Verse 32, Moses here reminds the Israelites of the law of God and encourages the people to live up to their covenant with God. Of being a special nation on the face of the earth. Our text this morning is found under the second sermon of Moses. What does this mean? In this short and very important verse, known as the Shema, Moses is just reminding the children of Israel of what the Lord had already told them before, trying to clarify the same truth. And here you find the importance of repetition. Many times I keep repeating things on this pulpit. And you may be like, ah, Pastor, you've talked about that several times. Yeah, repetition is mother of science, as the English say. And even Brother Paul said, told the Philippians, brethren, for me to write the same things to you is not trouble at all to me. And it is safe for you. Now, before we study our text, let me begin by giving you its background for better understanding. Moses began his second sermon by summoning all the children of Israel and said to them, let's read chapter 5 from verse 1 through 5. Chapter 5, 1 through 5. This is what he says. And Moses summoned all the children of all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant. But with us, who are all of us here alive today, the Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain, he said. Okay, so from there now, he will continue reminding them of the Ten Commandments. So you find that from verse 6 down to verse 21, Moses simply reminded them of the Ten Commandments, exactly the way the Lord had given them to them in Exodus chapter 20. Nothing is added there, just the Ten Commandments exactly the way they came to them. In chapter 5, verse 22, up to chapter 6, 1 through 3, Moses continued to remind the children of Israel of other things that happened on that great day. Now remember, Moses has been going up the mountains to speak with God, and he always came back to tell people what the Lord had told him. And time came and they complained. He said, do you all speak to him alone? We want also to hear him. And Moses said, okay, that's what you want. Let me go and tell him. And God said, it's okay. Go and prepare them. I'll come down and talk to them. But take 3 days of preparations, purification. Build a fence around the mountain, so that when I'm on that mountain, no one should make a mistake of touching it, he will die. So Moses did whatever God commanded him. And in Exodus 20, God came down. Okay, they feared terribly to the point that they came and told Moses, please don't allow, let him come again. Be going to talk with him and come and report to us. So now in Deuteronomy here, Moses, after reminding them of all the Ten Commandments, he just continues reminding them of whatever happened even after God had given them the Ten Commandments. And he says, the Lord spoke all the above words, these are the Ten Commandments, all the above words in the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and the mountain was burning with fire. When you saw all that, you came near me and said, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice in the midst of fire. Today, we've seen God speak with man, and man still live. Because it can't happen. It cannot. Even on this very day, God simply allowed it to be like that. And they continue telling Moses, but even though we have not died today, but why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. Even though we haven't died today, if we hear it again, we will die. Please always go near and hear of all that the Lord will say. Then come and tell us. We will hear and do it. What, do you know what they feared the most? Obviously, they saw fire. They saw the clouds. Thick darkness. But what they feared the most, according to their own words, that great voice of the living God. The Bible says it thunders. And the Bible says the Lord came down on the mountain and spoke with a loud voice. It was too terrifying to them. You want to know more about the voice of God? Go to Psalm 29. The whole chapter talks about the voice of God. Yeah, it tells us more about that amazing voice of the Lord. Verse 4 says, it is powerful and full of majesty. Verse 5 says, it breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 7 says, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flashes of fire. Verse 9 says, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. And because of that voice, in his temple, all people cry glory. The mighty voice of God. And every Sunday, we hear the same voice in this place. Through the preaching of his word. But you don't tremble. By the way, you are a miracle yourself. A miracle is something that is difficult to understand. You are a living miracle. You hear the voice of God every Sunday and nothing happens to you. Did you see what happened to the children of Israel? That mighty voice. They said, no, who will die? But do you hear that voice? Through his word. And from here you go back and see. Where do you get that courage from? Maybe I'll come to you and give me a secret. I failed to understand that. And the Lord heard your voice. Moses continues narrating to them what had happened on Mount Sinai. What is also called Mount Horeb is the same mountain. Says, and the Lord heard your voice and said to me, okay, they don't want me to come and talk to them anymore. I have heard whatever these people have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. God says, those guys, what people are right, Moses. Because if I came to speak with them again, surely they will die. And listen to what God says here in verse 29. Oh, that they had such a mind as this always. To fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and ask them to return to their tents. But you remain here so that I tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them. Now in chapter 6, Moses is teaching to the Israelites the whole commandment and statutes and rules as the Lord had instructed him. And what is the focus point of that commandment? To fear the Lord, their God. Them with their children and grandchildren. How should they show the fear of the Lord? In which way are you going to fear God? By keeping all his statutes and his commandments all the days of their lives. Chapter 6, verse 3, Moses repeats the same words, "Hear, O Israel," the second time. The second time. He said these words in verse 1 of chapter 5. "Hear, O Israel." Chapter 6, verse 3 repeats the same words. "Hear, O Israel." When he was begging them to be careful to do all that the Lord had asked them to do. Immediately after verse 3, in verse 4, Moses repeats the same words again. "Hear, O Israel," the third time. And this is what they call now the Shema. And this is the well-known Shema. The most important phrase among the Jews. Because of its importance, a true Jew has to repeat up to these days, has to repeat this phrase twice every single day. Every single day of his life or her life. Once in the morning and once in the evening. And I don't know, I always say there's no Islam myself. That's my conviction. There's no Islam religion. Islam is just a mixture of some practice from Judaism, some from Christianity, and some from paganism. That's Islam for you. And you find they cop something from Judaism about the Shema. I wish they called maybe the Shahada. So the Shema, an Israelite, when they leave their bed, at least they have to pronounce the Shema. Okay, you pronounce the Shema, but it's the Shema. That the word is Shema, Israel. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Listen, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Is one. In the evening again, I don't know whether they were also turning towards Jerusalem, those who were not in Israel. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Tomorrow again in the morning, in the evening, every day of their life. They had even put them in a certain small bag that they used to put at their wrist here. What is the truth behind the words in this phrase? From the beginning of his second sermon, Moses has been talking about the Lord, reminding the Israelites how this Lord is unique. Different from other gods. And this is because this Lord, this being is the Lord. So the Shema has got these key three words that I want to explain. So, "Hear, O Israel" is just an introduction to the Shema. But the Shema begins with "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." That's the Shema. And they always write the first word of the Shema and the last one in big letters. Yeah, so now, first of all, the Lord. This being I'm talking about is the Lord. meaning that he's the master. He's the owner of everything. The landlord of the universe. He is not just God like those other gods. By the way, the point here is not even that he is God. No. Because one, God is just a title. And two, scripture itself calls those other small gods, gods. Yes, it recognizes that they are gods. So the point here is not on God, it's on the Lord. This being is the master. He owns everything. He created everything. He rules over everything. The one who stands on the mountain and it melts. The Lord, the one who comes in the thick darkness and in smoke and in the cloud and with fire and you tremble. He is the Lord, the one who can't speak to men and they remain alive. He's the Lord. The being I'm talking about, hear, O Israel. This great Lord is our God. That's the second truth. This Lord I'm talking about is our God. Because he also knew that gods were many. But what kind of God was ours? It was this great God. Other gods, people even carry their gods from one place to another and nothing happens. They don't die. It's only the Lord our God who cannot speak with people with flesh and they remain alive. Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. This great Lord, who's our God, is one. The second important truth of the Shema. Obviously, from law number one and two, yeah, God was telling them, like he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. They knew that very well. So, you know, the understanding had stopped somewhere. They simply understood that gods are many. And we also have ours. God does not want us to have any other beside him. That's all. But this truth here is being revealed to them for the first time here in the Shema. That this God who does not want you to mix him with any other God is one. And yeah, we know in the world that we have monotheistic religions. They say there are three. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. That's what the world believes. But when we come down here, again, Christianity is segregated by these other two. The Jews say, you guys have three gods. Muslims say the same. Do you remember the covenant between God and the children of Israel? He wanted him to be their God so that they could be his special people on earth. And now, as we come down here, those who repeat the Shema every single day twice don't understand it. Because the Bible says that spiritual things are understood spiritually. After repeating the Shema, they can turn to us and say, you people worship three gods. And on the Shema, they put their attention on the last word, a hard one. Yeah, you see, your Lord God, the Lord your God is one. So they put their attention there. And yes, a heart is one just like this. But they forget to analyze the word here when they say the Lord, our God, the word our God. Elohim, and they know it very well, all the Jews, is a plural word. Even though it appears singular, but it's plural. Just like the word teeth. You cannot say teeth. It's just teeth, but it talks of more than one. Ask any Jew, they'll tell you, yes, this is a plural word. Elohim. And you find the scripture full of this word Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Either in some places Elohim, other places Elim. Yeah, but still they go ahead accusing us that we worship three gods. Yes, as I told you at the beginning, this is one of the most difficult doctrines to believe. Even among you Christians here, many have not believed it well. And you make mistakes with it. Maybe even when you go house to house, person to person, proclaiming the gospel, they ask you about the Trinity. And in your explanation, yes, you appear to be having three gods. But the Lord our God is one. Now, let's look at the oneness of God. Again, I agree with Assis Proul when he says that the problem we have is in the choice of words. Yeah, when you say one God in three persons, I mean, it's the word person that confuses people. So we could get a better word, but it's not there. But the truth is, this oneness is oneness in essence, oneness of essence or substance. In nature. And this truth does not rule out the possibility of a plurality of persons. Which is seen throughout scripture. Oneness of God in essence. And I told you that the question is not whether there are one or many gods, no. But this one God of Israel, this is mystery. I'm just trying to explain mystery. Has existed from eternity past as one God, but in three persons. Many people have come up with different doctrines from this. I wish this was a Bible college. I'd give you some of those denominations that came up with different things about the Trinity. And up to now, Christianity is denied by others to be a monotheistic religion. But Christians are the body of Christ. And as the special people for God on earth, you need to have this truth deep in you, that this God has been the way he is from eternity past, in unity that you can't comprehend. And it pleased these three persons of the Godhead to play different roles. It's not that when the Father changes himself, he looks like the Son. No. And when the Son went back to heaven, he changed himself and came back as the Holy Spirit. That's heresy. Even the Jews themselves, who are special people of God here below, have failed to grasp this truth, and you will not understand it with your mind even if you are a genius. You need the Holy Spirit to illumine your mind to understand this. And my younger brother, the one who comes immediately after me, told me, "No, why I've rejected Christianity? It's because it has a lot of things that we can't explain." And I told him, "And me, the reason why I embrace Christianity is because it has a lot of things that we can't explain. Because a religion, a God that can easily be understood by the mind of his subject, is not a God. But our God, one person just willingly decided to act as the Father. And another person willingly accepted to ask to act as the Son. And as the Holy Spirit, another one. And they've been like that in harmony. No problem. Because there's no sin in them. Lucifer had a very good position in heaven. But he was not satisfied. He wanted to lift his throne to be like the Most High. And where is he now? But you can't see something like that with our great God. This is a mystery. Which human beings have been together for 50 years? I don't know them. Our president here took power with some friends. They were buddies, good friends. Some of those good friends are his enemies today. They're fighting him. We also want to rule. We had agreed that after a certain time, you let us also to go there. When we go to John 17, so some people say, no, there's no, in God there are no three persons. But we saw it when Jesus Christ was baptized. Clearly, we heard the voice of the Father, and the Son was being baptized, and the Holy Spirit came in form of a dove. But also here in chapter 17, the mighty high priestly prayer. Jesus Christ was praying for us, his church. After this prayer, he was arrested, beaten up, and he died for you. There's something that he said here that interested me. In verse 11, and we are in John 17, verse 11, he says this. "And I am no longer in the world, But they are in the world. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father. The one he's calling Father here is equal with him. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Why didn't he say, even as I am? To those who really don't want to believe that our one God has three persons, you'd have said, let them be one just as I am, because you, me and you and the Holy Spirit, we are just one, just as I am. But he says, just as we are. Verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. And listen to the reason why he gave us his glory. Not you to build houses. Not you to be in planes every day. You go to America and Australia and they say this is a powerful man of God. No. You gave me your glory. And I have given it to them, so that they may be one even as we are one. RBC, can you manage to be one, to live as one people the way the three persons of our Godhead are? I see in churches, some denominations split all the time. The assistant pastor says, no, they're undermining me. Takes a group of people, they go and start on the other side, another church. After only 1 or 2 years, again, it splits. So just like that, they keep splitting. That alone proves that there's no spirit of the living God in them. God calls you in this sermon to not to have any other God beside him. God calls you in this sermon, if you are truly born again, to be one, just as our God is one. Leaders of RBC, Shema RBC, hear, O RBC, let's forget about that Israel. The Lord our God is one. The Father has never felt within him that I am the one controlling the Son and the Holy Spirit. And now I'm going to step on them. The Son has never said, I'm not being recognized. And they start fighting for their place. I am equal with the Father. I'm also. Start calling me also the Father. Is satisfied to play that role, yet they are equal. Why don't you act like that, human beings? Even in reformed churches, because there is part of sin moving in us. Pastors crashing. Deacons. I want to be Sabbath deacon. I want to be, I don't know how they call that in English. The Anglican church calls it Sabbath deacon is what? Archdeacon. So the one who looks after other deacons. And it feels great. The elders in a local church. Let people know that I'm the one, I'm the biggest here. You want to suppress others. And these others, no, we are equal. I want to let you be my... There's no God in such a church. May God be with you, RBC. Shema, RBC. Hear all, RBC. Our God is one. Once there's no unity, there's no God there. Period. Is there unity among you? If I asked you, I've left the ancient Israel, I'm here at this small Israel at Harbis. How are you one? And Jesus Christ said, the upper room discourse, the very last discourse to his disciples. My commandment I give to you, love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. In this, the whole world will know that you are mine, if you have love for one another. How can you be one with someone you don't love? You can't. With the clicks, you want to start creating the groups under RBC, the groups of those members who went to Makerere University or to higher to university. You see them hang around all the time. Yes. Am I not your pastor? Those who went to the university, they hang around all the time. And those who don't speak English, they also hang around. Those who have some money hang around all the time. Shema RBC. The spirit is not from the Lord. You can't visit those who are poor. You always visit your brothers and sisters who have some cash. And they can give you a ride with their car when you are going back. What are these other brothers and sisters who don't have? It has the spirit of God in you. To separate from your brethren, really? And you say you are born again? Let it stop from today, please. I am your under shepherd and I watch you. Why do you hang around with a particular group of people? Why? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The way they've been together without any quarrel. It's amazing. It's also possible with you, RBC. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, asked it from the Father for us. He asked it for us. He says, just as I'm in you and you are in me, let them also be one. Yeah, you see, okay, we are living still in this sinful world. Go to the U.S. I was amazed. A church where a pastor is a black like me, all the members are black. I don't know the reason. A church where a pastor is white, the members are almost all white. A church here in Uganda where the pastor is a Munyarwanda from Rwanda, all 80% of members are Rwandese. Then you wonder. If it's because of the language, you don't understand that the language is there, we understand. But if it's because he is from my country, from my tribe, no, you need to revise your Christianity. Lord, we thank you for this word. Help our church, oh Lord. It's just amazing to see how you live in unity and love and harmony from eternity past to these days up to to eternity future. May you help us, Lord. Our sinful nature always wants to interfere with our love to you. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us, we plead. Help Reconciliation Baptist Church that will do everything in unity, in oneness and love. This is the only power in this country. Not we building a sanctuary in our own land. No. Not we being many reaching 500 members. No. But unity that we see in you among the elders of this church, among the deacons of this church, among the members of this church, without segregation, O Lord, is what we pray.